Chevra, we're in the middle of a very, very special days. Some have a minhag already not to say tachnun during these days. Our yeshiva here, I don't believe, has that minhag, although not to be enforcing too much, but it could be in our minyan upstairs. We do have that minhag. The Rebbe, where I daven, Rebbe Spiegel, the Astor of Kalashina Rebbe, he has that we don't say tachnun this whole week already. All of Klal Yisrael starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan doesn't say Tachnun. That's starting this upcoming Shabbos, Kodesh, Bez Hashem. For all of Nisan, Klal Yisrael doesn't say Tachnun. Because already Rav of the days of Nisan are days of Simcha, where we don't say Tachnun. So the whole month we don't say Tachnun. Because the first 12 days are days when the Korbanos were brought of the Nisim. And then Erev Pesach, Pesach, Yisruchag, it already adds up to most of the month we don't say Tachnun. So we don't say Tachnun the whole month of Nisan. But some have a minhag already this week not to say tachnun. Why? Because these are the days Yemei Miluyim. These 7 days were the days when we already were, Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing and getting ready for the Akamas HaMishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore these as well are very special days. And we could see, you know, sometimes it's very clear. We've mentioned many times from the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal that you have to live with the parasha. And the parasha is very connected to the time of the year. And specifically, Shabbos is the hachana for the upcoming week. All bracha and kedusha of the upcoming week comes from Shabbos beforehand. It's one of the reasons you have an ofruf before the week of your chasana. So your chasana, I don't know, Eli, I don't know if you're planning what your ofruf is going to be, the Shabbos right before the chasana, you know yet? Okay, good, Baruch Hashem. Because those who have ofrufs 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, okay, it's nice. Sometimes it's more convenient for the family, for the friends. It's a little bit easier, maybe, or there sometimes because there's another offer of that Shabbos in the shul, understandably. But at the same time, it doesn't make so much sense then. Then Lamaisa, you could have your offer of the week you get engaged already. Okay, to get together, to have a beautiful get together with your family and friends on a Shabbos is always something very special. But as far as the offer of itself, it should be the Shabbos, the Iker offer of the halachic offer of it there is. Would be the Shabbos before the Chastana. One of the reasons is by that all Kedusha and Bracha of the upcoming week stems from the Shabbos beforehand. So you already, if you're going to have a Chastana during that week, the Kedusha and Bracha of the Chastana already comes from the Shabbos prior. So this week, the Koyach of this week, the Kedusha and Bracha of this week comes from this previous Shabbos. In this previous Shabbos, we started off the Parsha of Ehibi Yom HaShmini, and Rashi tells us, what's Shmini? Shmini l'miluyim, the eighth day of the Yemei Miluyim, which is what? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is this upcoming Shabbos. We mevarch in Chodesh Nisan, this past Shabbos. So we see it's pretty amazing how everything is mesudar, everything is organized, and we see that the beginning of the parasha is mamish in yoni diyoma, that these are Yemei Miluyim. Preparing for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And Rosh Chodesh Nisan is finally Akamas HaMishkan. Is when the Mishkan was already concretized and when it was starting to be used. And where the V'asuli Migdash V'shchanti B'soichem comes to fruition. There's a Machloikes in Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Whether B'Nisan Nivroila or B'Tishrei Nivroila. Whether the world was created in Nisan or the world was created in Tishrei. A very famous Machloikis. It's hard to understand such a machloikis. Seems like a machloikis in Metzius. Usually we don't have machloikis in Metzius. Here maybe there's what to say. You can have a machloikis in Metzius because Metzius was before any of us were here. So you can have such a machloikis. Why generally do you not have a machloikis in Metzius? Because it's a fact. What's the fact? What's the MS? You can't have a machloikis. You can't say Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Chayim by a Metzius. But here, maybe, on some level, you could have a little bit more of a machlekes, because none of us were there present. That's how some of Farshim explain why Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Etzisichem Eretz Yisrael. Why do we base our Amunah B'Hashem Asher Etzisichem Eretz Yisrael? If we had to look at what makes the Rabbanu Shalom the Rabbanu Shalom more than anything else, is that he created the world. He was the Bari Alma. That's why he's the Rabbanu Shalom, because he created the world. So it should be Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. So there are many different answers to a very famous question. One of the answers is because we can't attest with actual testimony that we're physically there to witness creation of the world. We believe, we have emuna shlema, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And sure, it's MS, and there are many rayas of we can give, and it makes a lot of sense, but were we actually there? No, but were we, but by Yisiyat Mitzrayim, we were present. We could attest to the Eser Makos. We could attest to a Kriyas Yamsuf. Where we're there, we could give Eidus. Therefore, it's a little bit stronger to give us the foundation of our Amunah of Anoich Hashem Elokecha, because only the one who created the world can have the koyach to be able to change the world in the Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. So maybe that's why we could have a machlokas where the world was created in Nisan Tishrei, because none of us were there. But still, how are we going to say Elu Ve'elu Divya Kimchayim over here? Either one or the other, right? So comes along the Heilige Kedushas Levi. I meant to bring it to read inside, but I don't have it here right now. I'll just tell it to you over. The Heilige Bardichever found on his pieces on Pesach, actually, if I'm not mistaken. So he says as follows. He says, when something's created, there's really two steps to the creation in a sense. There's when the object, the entity, was created. And then there's when the actual purpose behind the creation comes to fruition. So for example, when Ich Weiß Nicht, Steve Jobs created the first computer, right? One of the first computers or whatever, the first Apple, whatever he did, right? So he was sitting in his dorm room or in his home, in his basement. I don't know, by that point he already dropped out of college, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know, whatever it was. And he created this computer. He created a computer. So there's a day when he actually put the last touch in. He screwed in the last screw and it was finished. But maybe it wasn't on that particular day. It wasn't until maybe a week later. Maybe I'm wrong, but it could be it was a later date that he actually utilized it and saw all the koyach it has, and it came to produce that which the purpose of the creation was for. So you have the day that the actual object was created, and the day when the purpose behind the creation comes to fruition. You have a bike company, and it's building bikes, bicycles. And when the bicycle's finished, so it's finished. But it wasn't yet. Nobody rode the bicycle yet. Until some 10-year-old girl goes to Toys R Us for her birthday, and she picks out this bicycle, and it's never actually, no one ever rode on the bicycle. And she takes it home, and she rides on the bicycle. So it was actually built and created maybe 6 months earlier, but it wasn't actually come to use until 6 months later when this little girl took this bicycle home for the birthday. So Kedushas Levi says, so too perhaps by Shemayim V'aretz, by the creation of the world. By the creation of the world. Hayom Haras Olam, the day of creation, of physical creation. When was that? Rosh Hashanah. Aleph Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah is when man was created, actually. The sixth day of creation. But that's when creation of man was. That's when we were actually created. But what's the purpose of creation? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the meaning behind the creation? Okay, we could talk about that for a very long time. But on a very simple level, the Medrash says, Nis'aveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dorab Dira P'tachtoinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be found in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us that we could bring the Rebbeinu Shalom, bring the Eibishter into the world. That we could keep Torah mitzvahs. That we could sit and steig in Torah and learn and daven and bring the Rebbeinu Shalom into every aspect of our lives. That we can elevate all the Gashmi L'Ruchni to turn this world into a Kodesh Kedoshim Digger world. When did that purpose come to fruition? When there's Dira B'tachtoinim, when the Mishkan, when we add HaKamas HaMishkan, then finally, we had not just the creation of the world, but there was a fruition of the purpose of the creation of the world. And that was when an Aleph Nisan. It's not exactly what Kedushas Levi says. Nesiva Shalom uses Kedushas Levi, says it that way. To understand where this comes from. But the idea is so deep and so powerful. And that is, there might have been a day of creation, but then there's a day of living out the creation. And in fact, the Medrash says, when we had the day of Kamas Mishkan, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki'ilu Ba'oysa Yom Barasti Esolami. It's as if on that day I created my world. Because finally the purpose of the creation was finally lived out with the Hakamat HaMishkan. We find as well, the Gemara Megillah says, Sheyayim Hakamat HaMishkan, Hoysa Simchas Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Yoyim Shenivre Shemayim Varetz. So we see there's a tremendous connection, many Mamre Chazal, between the actual creation of the world and the creation of the Mishkan. And by the way, what was the creation of the world? The creation of the world was the creation of the habitat of the physical makom for us to reside, for people to reside. The creation of the Mishkan was the creation of the habitat and the makom for the Rabbeinu Shem to reside. It's really one and the same. But through this Kedusha Levi, we understand the difference in it. One is the actual physical creation. One is the meaning and the purpose behind that creation. And the emes is every single one of us. Every single one of us have to think within ourselves. We all, everyone in here, we have a birthday. We have a day that we were physically created. But surely on our birthday, we didn't bring much meaning or purpose into the world yet. We didn't do anything yet on that day. For a few years, we hardly did anything. Okay, by the fact of our existence, we brought a lot of chesed into the world. Sure, our parents took care of us, and people did chesed for us. And there are definitely mitzvot that were mekayim because of us, but ultimately, with a machshava dik away and anything proactively, we didn't do much on that day, on the day of our birthday. Is our birthday really something so chashuv? Is our birthday really something so chashuv? What's our true birthday? Our true grave creation? Maybe it was not the day we were physically created, but the day we started living out our purpose in this world, bringing the Rabbeinu Shalom into this world. I might have said, I don't think I said this in this year, I've said this at some point once before, but maybe that's how we could understand, you know, there are those who bring down that a tzaddik has this chus that his birthday and his Yom Petira is on the same day. It's very famous from, as you all know, from this month, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, both his birthday and his Yom Petira and his Yartzeit was Zayin Adar. As we all know from the Gemara Megillah by Haman. We all know that, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was such a tzaddik. David HaMelech as well, his birthday and his Yom Petira and his Yartzeit is on Shavuos. We find by Vik Tzaddikim, which represents, and it makes sense, it represents living a shleimistic life, living a complete life. There was a sense of completion, nothing left over. However, the obvious question is, Chevra, there are so many tzaddikim that lived in this world. Big people, massive people, people that changed the world for all of history, that didn't have their birthday and the yahrzeit on the same day. So let me tell you a story. I might have shared this before, some, but it's worth repeating. And it's also preparing for Yanei D'Yoma. In another couple of weeks, there's going to be Erev Pesach. And Erev Pesach, we have the mitzvah to what? Bedikas chametz, to get rid of our chametz. Emes is, the Bnei Yisrael says we had to start this already. I said this over Thursday night. Bnei Yisrael says we don't say shechiyanu by bir chametz, by bedikas chametz. We don't make a shechiyanu because the mitzvah already started for Purim, because the ikur bir and bedikas chametz is to get rid of Amalek and to get rid of all taiva and get rid of all gashmi. Like the Gemara in Brachos says that Mima'akev sar shbi isa, and Rashi explains the Yetahara, that the chametz is the Yetahara, and we already started this process already, so it's not a shechiyanu. But the actual bedikas chametz is going to be Erev Pesach Yud Daled, Thursday night before Pesach, is going to be bedikas chametz. Many years ago, there was a boy, he was learning in yeshiva in Brisk in Eretz Yisrael, Shimshon. Shimshon was in yeshiva, and he was staying in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. But his roommates, he was in a dira, and all his roommates were going back to Chutz La'aretz for Pesach, as is the minog by many. We have Yisrael Meir here, he's already back for Pesach from Eretz Yisrael. And, which is also something, listen, obviously, Yantiv is a time to be Oyler Egel, to be in Eretz Yisrael. At the same time, Yantiv is surely a time to be with Mishpacha, and it makes a lot of sense, something very beautiful, to be with your Mishpacha and give your father opportunity to be Mekayim V'gadol Vincha. You should be by your father's Seder. It makes sense. So Lamaisa, this Shimshon, but he was staying in Eretz Yisrael. For various reasons, his family was not well off. They couldn't even bring him back, really. And he was staying in Eretz Yisrael. And he realized it was Thursday. I don't know what day of the week it was. It was Erev Pesach. And he realized all his Dira mates They all left, and everybody left already a few days ago, and nobody cleaned up anything. Nobody did anything to prepare for Pesach. He's going to be there alone. It was left all on his shoulders to mamish to prepare and to do bedikas chametz, but also to clean up the entire dira. So, but he didn't realize this. He didn't think about it. He was so into his learning full time. He didn't think about this till mamish was like yudalit almost. So before he could do bedikas chametz, he has to mamish clean the entire apartment. He cleans the entire dira and he's cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and cleaning hours upon hours. It's already very late at night. It's almost 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night. He's ready already. Okay, time I could do the actual bedikas chametz. Then he realizes, wait a minute, they actually used to all the time hang out and spend time on the roof. They spend time on the roof and they used to bring stuff up and eat on the roof. So he has to clean the roof also. It's a makom that he would bring chametz to, that they brought chametz to. He goes up the roof and the roof was mamish a churban. It was like, mamish, disgusting. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you can hardly see, but he's cleaning the whole roof, finding wrappers everywhere, and chesnish, all different types of things. Does that for a couple hours. It's already maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. It's time now he could really do B'dikas Chometz. And he did time for B'dikas Chometz. He did Emesdik B'dikas Chometz. B'dikas Chometz means you actually check well the entire makom. You know, some people do the symbolic 5-minute checking of the whole house to look for the 10 pieces of bread. And so that's not what B'dikas Chometz is supposed to be. Then the whole purpose behind the 10 pieces of bread destroys the whole B'dikas Chometz, which is supposed to be that it's a good... You look around your entire house, a normal-sized house. It should take, I don't know, 45 minutes. At least a half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, who knows. You're supposed to really look for your chametz throughout the house. That's what B'dikas chametz is. Anyways, but it takes him a long time, and he checks the whole deer. And finally, maybe it's 4:30 in the morning, and he finished B'dikas chametz. Then he realizes he's been up all night. He might as well stay up for Vasikin. It's close enough for Vasikin to go to sleep now. He'll go to sleep after. He stays up for Vasikin, and he daven Vasikin. And Vasikin's over, but you know, you get that extra strength after Vasikin, you know, like Shavuos morning, and you're not even tired at that point. You might have been like falling asleep during the Haftorah, but now davening's over, and you're ready for Kiddush, and you're ready to go. So he was excited, and it's Erev Pesach, he has so much to do Erev Pesach, he has to get a haircut, you're not allowed to get a haircut after Chatzos and Erev Pesach, he has to get a haircut in the morning, he has to do whatever he has, do different achanas. He ends up mamish not going to sleep, going straight till Leil Seder. But then it's Leil Seder, and the geshmak of Leil Seder, excitement of Leil Seder, he was so excited, he makes it through the whole night, and then after Seder's over, call him Arber of Shubach to talk, you see, him all night long, and Shir Shirim and Tehillim and Chesnish, whatever else, he stays up all night again. Remember, it's Emes. Listen. It's Shimshon, he stays up all night again. Then the next morning, he davens. And then finally, after davening, he goes to sleep for the first time. That Shimshon, with all the Mesiris Nefesh that he put into that mitzvah, from that point on, he felt a different kesher to Torah, a different kiyumis at Torah. What he learned, he remembered on a much higher level, was learning on a higher level like he never before. He Maharish would say, like never before from that era of Pesach, because of the mysterious method he put into that mitzvah, and those days of Pesach, he felt that it was a new, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him a ton of, a new understanding of Torah, like he never read before. And who did he then become, this Shimshon? He became a Gaon HaTzaddik of Shimshon Pinkus. Reb Shimshon Pinkus. Now some of you might know, Reb Shimshon Pinkus unfortunately was taken from this world at a very young age. He was in a terrible car accident and was nifter from the car accident. And what day was the car accident? The car accident was an Erev Pesach. So let's understand, Chevra. Reb Shimshon Pinkus, he says to himself, when did he feel the first time in his life he really started connecting to Torah on the highest of levels based on the Mesiris Nefesh he put in for that B'dikas Chametz? Was Erev Pesach. When did he leave this world? Erev Pesach. Meaning what? Maybe we could understand now with the Kedushas Levi we said. Maybe it's true that Tzadikim are Zoyche, that their Yoyim of their Yoyim Huledes, their birthday, and Yom Petir, the Yartzeit, is on the same day, the Shoah Shleimus. But who's to say when our birthday is? Who's to say when our birthday? Our birthday is the day we physically came into this world? Or is our birthday the day that we start living life to the fullest, with meaning, with purpose, with bringing a Kodesh Baruch Hu into this world? Just like the Kedushas Levi says that the world might have been created finally in Tishrei, but it came to fruition and purpose in Nisan with the Kamas of Mishkan. So to each and every one of us, we have to ask ourselves, physically we're here, we've been created a long time ago, but are we living a life of purpose? Have we even been created yet? Have a beautiful week. Mirtz Hashem. in the schus of these special days, Yimei Meluyim and Akabas HaMishkan, that each and every one of us should be Mekayim, Vasilei Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Soichem.